In your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Timothy, found in your New Testament. The book of 1 Timothy. I'm going to have you turn just two times today. Sometimes we don't turn at all. I'm going to have you turn twice today, but one time it's only going to be about three pages. So I think you can handle this. When you think through the Word of God, it amazes me the things that God did with young people. God has done some tremendous thing through youth. Just go back in your mind. We often focus on Moses when he was in the bulrushes, but did you ever think of Miriam? Did a little bit of study, and it appears that she was about 10 years old. She went down by that brook and watched over Moses and went and besought her mother to take care and bring her up for the king. What a tremendous thought of how much really was put on that young girl of only 10 years of age. Esther was quite a young lady as God used her greatly in His will. Think of throughout the Word of God, we often think of Ruth and the tremendous blessing that she was to Naomi and the influence that she had. And she was quite a young lady in the day and age in which God used her. There are many other young men that God used as well. I'll be looking at several of them throughout the message today. And I want to look at this idea of how God can use our young people in the day and age in which we live. We are in a series right now in America in the Last Days. We don't have to look very far to notice that America is changing. You don't have to look very far at all to also know that America is changing right from a very young age. The things that we see young people do in this day and age in the shopping mall, we didn't see happen in homes years ago. Such things would be disciplined and taken care of. So America is changing, and so I want to call on our young people to this idea, to have an idea of giving their lives into service for the Lord. Allowing their lives to be used greatly of God. And very often, young people, we have this perspective, and while the message is primarily geared toward our youth in this unique situation, of course the applications are multiple, and as we are rising in age, the applications toward all of us, but I want us to know, young people, you might be looking at your life and say, wow, what do I have to offer the Lord? Stop and think about, what do I have to offer the Lord? You know, God wants to take us, and God began to work in my life when I was about the age of 12. Remember, my first major decision for God at the age of 12. A follow-up decision to that was made at the age of 16. Real training began at the age of 18. So for many of you, you might think, wow, I don't have much to offer the Lord. I want you to know we're all included in that. The Word of God says this in the book of Corinthians, not many wise, not many noble. God hasn't called the great things, He's called the weak things. Why is that? So we wouldn't glory in ourselves. We get to the end of the message, we get to the end of a Sunday school lesson, we get to the end of a VBS night, we get to the end of a special opportunity of witnessing, we get to the end of visitation, whatever it might be, and we saw God do something great, and we say, wow, it had to be the Lord. I don't have much to offer Him. And so I want us to see how our young people can influence this world in the midst of a very wicked world in which we live. And I want us to see that by way of example this morning, especially in looking at the life of Josiah. But we're going to begin by looking at some young preacher boys. Let's first of all, though, go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus Christ, and we know Your Son, Jesus Christ, even became a man of influence. We learn at the age of 12, probably earlier than that. He became a man of influence, seated there with the doctors and lawyers and answering their questions. Father, before me are a number of young people. We have the privilege of influencing their lives. We have the privilege of filling them up like a sponge and then squeezing them out by using them in ministry. Thankful for these young ladies who sang this morning. Thank you for those who will give testimony this evening as you use them at Servants' Heart Camp and on mission fields. Father, we are so thankful, but also we feel so responsible to do much with the privileged responsibility that you've given to us. We have a lot of young people here. We don't take that for granted. We are thankful. We have a lot of young people here, and we don't overlook how you want to use them and begin using them now, how you want to train them and begin training them now, how you want them to surrender, and how I believe you want some of them to surrender now. Father, some of them may really see that they don't have much to offer, or maybe they've got their own plans already in mind, and I pray, Father, that you would adjust their thinking. Not what do they want to do with the rest of their life, what do you want them to do with the rest of their lives? Father, I pray that this application will go beyond just the mere youth of our church, but throughout our church, we will really recognize that whether we live or die, we are yours. So bring us to a point of conviction today. Bring us to the point where we apply the message and your word to our hearts. Father, bring us to the point where we give thanks to you for the decisions and changes that you bring forth in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have two points to my message this morning. First of all, I want to look at this idea of being a biblical example with your life. I've entitled the point, God uses young people living a pattern of purity in themselves. And the idea is this: God has used throughout the Scripture a number of young people by themselves being a pattern of what purity is. Again, we live in days that we could call exceedingly fierce. The idea is demonic. We live in days that are classified as being demonic. When you see what all is taking place, it's not all taking place in our adults. Much of what is taking place today is in our youth. But our youth have an opportunity to be a tremendous example to other young people and also to adults by the way they live their lives. Paul was writing to young Timothy. Now, I want you to know that Timothy began in the ministry following Paul about the age of 14, 15 years of age. Timothy was saved on one of the missionary journeys of Paul. The next time Paul came through that same town, he heard of that young disciple Timothy growing in the things of the Lord. Paul determined to take young Timothy with him on the next missionary journey. Can you imagine being a young person taken with the Apostle Paul on the next missionary journey? And God began to use Timothy in the ministry beginning at about the age of 15. Timothy is now about the age of 30. But listen to what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse number 12. Look what the Word of God says. Let no man despise thy... You know, if you're 30 years of age, you feel like you're getting old, don't you? Isn't this a fresh perspective? Paul is saying to Timothy about the age of 30, let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers. Notice this, he's to be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity. Those words in, repeatedly there, are set off to emphasize in all of these areas, be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, the way you live, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So Paul was calling this young preacher boy in the ministry to be an example by his life. Turn with me back just a few pages toward the back of your Bible to the book of Titus. We have 2 Timothy next, and then the book of Titus. For me, it's only three pages. Look at Titus chapter 2. Look at verse number... Titus is another one of those young preacher boys that Paul again led to Christ. He would develop. While Timothy would go to Ephesus and become a bishop, Titus would go to Crete and be very effective there, and then again join up with the Apostle Paul. Look what he says in chapter 7 and verse number 2 now to Titus. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. So notice, a similar admonition has been given from the Apostle Paul, who's about 12 to 15 years older, the Apostle Paul, to these younger preacher boys, in bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, I began meditating in the Word of God, especially in the Old Testament, about some of the young men and how God used them greatly in the Word of God. One of the key examples to me was the young man Daniel. He was taken captive along with the other young men, probably in his mid to late teens. He was now captive in Babylon. He was given an opportunity to be strengthened and to be taught in the most worldly, but in their minds, the best type of training that he could get in all of Babylon. He was asked to eat of the king's meat. What an honor that would be for most young people. But this is what Daniel would say. The Word of God says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So here was young Daniel determining, you know what, I'm going to be different. When everybody else is going in a certain direction, I'm going to be different. I'm going to remain pure inside, and I'm going to trust God to strengthen me and to use me in a great way. It's just a few chapters later. The focus of the Scriptures would go off of Daniel and now onto Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the third chapter, they are given this opportunity that King Nebuchadnezzar built this huge statue, a portrait of himself, and he wanted them all, when the playing of the music would take place, to bow down. We talk about how these young men took a stand, but actually what these young men did is they refused to bow. Listen to what these young men would say to the king of Babylon. It would say this, be it known unto thee, O king, but we will not serve thy gods. What a statement. Here were these young men, again, who we highly respect, making an influence, taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, refusing to become like everyone else, refusing to bow to the idols that were around them. What about David? David was a young shepherd boy, taking care of his father's flock. He was taking food, provisions to his brothers. And there they would find themselves standing against that great Philistine Goliath, who was defying their God. As Daniel approached the opportunity and the situation, he questioned, why should this uncircumcised Philistine be allowed to vilely speak against the king, the Lord, his God? And Daniel questioning this, how can we allow this vile Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And they were questioning David as to his stand and really questioning the direction of what David is saying. And he says, isn't there a cause? Again, here's a young man that God would enable to take on that Philistine, that Goliath. Many know the story. Why? Because it's God taking a young man and changing the course of direction of a nation. What about Joseph? Joseph was taken by his brothers and sold into slavery. He was again sold from the Midianites down now into Egypt. He is now in Potiphar's house. He is now being tempted in the privacy of Potiphar's house. Again, Joseph had the opportunity to sin. Well, no one else is around. No one else is looking. But here's a young man in his late teens determining to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a statement that Joseph made. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Young people, I would encourage you, I would challenge you to take your life and to make a difference with your life by standing in the midst of everyone falling down. There are many people in the day and age in which we are living that are bowing to idols, that are bowing to idolatry. that are worshiping and serving even their own religion. They are worshiping and serving other gods. They are worshiping and serving themselves. We need young people who be willing to take a stand for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need young people in the midst of temptation, when you think no one else is looking around, to say, you know what? The eyes of the Lord are beholding the evil and the good. My God can see where I am. My God knows what I am doing. We need young people who are willing to take a stand, even when it's just one-on-one. Not bowing and capitulating to the challenges that the world would bring. Not giving in to the sins and the temptations that they would allure us with, but saying, you know what? As a young person, I want to be used by God. I'm going to take a stand. You know, there aren't going to be many of our young people called to take such a stand as Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael did. Can you imagine the thousands that were bowing down and three young men that were standing up? Now, sadly, thousands of young Israelite young men were taken into captivity. This is a sad story, a story to rejoice in, but a story to somewhat be saddened by, that only three young men stood. Only Daniel spoke out in chapter 1. Only three young men stood in chapter 3. So first of all, young people, I would call you to this. I would call you to take a stand and lead a pure life. Live your life as an example for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow the world to offer you temptations that would bring you down. Don't bow and do what everyone else is doing. Dear friend, not everyone else is doing it. Sometimes we get the idea, like Elijah, we're the only one, not recognizing how many others are taking a stand for Jesus Christ. But I really want to move beyond that to a second point. So would you turn with me now in your Bibles to the Old Testament, to the book of 2 Chronicles, and would you focus with me on chapter 34. 2 Chronicles, First and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. First of all, God uses young people living a pattern of purity in themselves. But I want us to see something I think is even more important. God uses young people living to produce purity in others. Dear young person, if one day we would call you to the platform and recognize, boy, he was like a young Daniel. He was like a young Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. She was like a young Ruth, a young Esther, a young Miriam. He was like, I remember the day when he was like a Joseph. He was just a young man taking a stand, or David willing to fight for a cause. I'll tell you what, we would be proud to mention of the pure way in which you lived your life and the stand in which you took. But I think there is something that really needs to be considered in the day and age in which we live. That is going beyond just living a holy life and living a surrendered life for the cause of Christ. That is going beyond just being a good Christian to being a Christian that's saying, here am I, send me. To going beyond saying, you know what, I want to be a good businessman, or I want to be a good politician. I don't know that I can really say that. Bleep that from the records there. You know, God can use our young people. And dear friend, if that's what God wants you to do, I believe it's the highest calling in your life. If God wants you to be in that type of role and in that place in life, I think you ought to surrender yourself and do it with all you can for the glory of God. But there is a place where I think we need young people to say, you know what, I would love to aspire to doing this. I would dream of doing that. But if nothing else, I want to be used mightily of God. I really went back and forth and throughout this week, focusing in on who I wanted to use the most. We're going to look briefly at Isaiah later, but I really focused on this young man, Josiah. Because Josiah wasn't just merely a good example. Josiah fought for change. Josiah wasn't just going to be an example in this world. Josiah was going to set the tone for this world. Josiah was going to proclaim a message. It was because of Josiah that a great revival broke out. Do we have anyone in the auditorium here who's the age of eight? Do we have anyone 8 years of age? I'm not going to put them on the spot. They're a visitor. God bless you. Do we have anyone else the age of eight? We've got young Charles. Charles, could you come to the platform? I will put you on the spot. Come on up to the platform. Can you imagine King Charles? Grandma and Grandpa can. Sometimes he's trying to rule and reign the household. Yeah, can't even get your sister to listen to you, can you? No, we won't go there. Josiah, when he came to the throne, can you imagine this, was 8 years of age. Don't want to go there. How God would use an 8-year-old young man to change the course of the nation of Israel. Do we have a young man in here age 16? Age 16. Got any 16-year-olds in here? None at all? Josiah! I thought that was happening. Come on up, Josiah. Look in the Bible with me, the Word of God. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Let's look at the opening couple of verses. Start with verse number 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Israel 130 years. And he did that which was right. Look at verse number 2. He did that which is right in the sight of the Lord. So even as an 8-year-old like Charles, seeking to do right, he was doing right in the eyes of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, giving testimony to how he walked with the Lord, and declined, look at this, declined neither to the right nor to the left. He had this purpose in his life, even as an 8-year-old, even as a young man. Boy, I'm going to try to live like David, who was an ancestor, previous ancestor of his. I want to live to be like David. He says, I'm not going to move to the left or the right. I want to stay on that straight and narrow line to live like David. But look what it says in verse number 3. For in the 8th year of his reign, he's now 16 years of age. In the 8th year of his reign, listen to me, it was no longer enough to just do right. Josiah recognized now at the age of 16, not only do I want to do right, I want to change our nation to doing that which is right. Again, we have a lot of young people. I praise God for the young people that God has brought to this church. I praise God for you parents who have brought up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I praise God that our young people can get up and minister in various ways. I praise the Lord for what it does in their lives. I praise the Lord for what it does in their parents' lives. I praise the Lord for what it does in my heart and life as being their pastor and shepherd. I get excited to see our young people serving the Lord. But there was something different when Josiah, in the Word of God, went from just doing what was right to influencing others to do what was right. Again, I am excited when our young people are doing what is right. Parents, isn't it exciting to walk in on your children and actually finding them getting along? Well, the torture chamber at our house was putting two of our children on the same piano bench and asking them to play a duet. You know, one was too fast, the other was too loud, you're too, you know, whatever. It was, the bickering began. And I let Karen handle it. I would have killed him, so I had to let her handle it. I wanted to have grandchildren someday. I couldn't be left in my hands. Just kidding, just kidding. But folks, there is something different when it goes from an 8-year-old and obeying to a 16-year-old and influencing. Thank you for coming up. Would you follow along with me? Look here again at the Word of God, because this is where we want to get the information for the message. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, 16 years of old age, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 20th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the... He began to seek, at the age of 16, the future direction of the Lord for his life, and by the age of 20, he was already engaged. I know, I can bring somebody 20 years of age up here, and then I can bring somebody 26 and continue on, but I don't think we need that. Let's look at what happens here in the 20th year. It would be the 12th year. He's now 20 years of age. He began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And so what is he doing? He is bringing wholesale change to the nation of Israel. As a 20-year-old, he is leading to the cleansing of the temple. He is leading to the destroying of the false gods. He is leading a nation, began at 8, just doing right. Began at 16, then continued at 16 of really seeking what the Lord wanted for his life. But by the age of 20, he's in action. He is being used greatly of the Lord. Look what happens as the verses continue. Go down to verse number 8. By the way, to purge means to do so with intensity. It had the idea he was cleaning house and he was doing it thoroughly. Look at verse number 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, how old is he now? He's now 26. Look at this. Look at verse number 8. When he what? It's all over. He started at the age of 20. He started cleaning house. Sometime before the age of 26, it was done. He had already purged the land and the house. It says that he sent Shaphan, which is actually Shaphan. And look at the end of verse number 8, to repair the house of the Lord his God. I mean, he cleaned house. He sends Shaphan to clean up and now start the repairs of the house of the Lord. This young man, by the age of 26, is already being known as the greatest king Israel had since David. By the age of 26. Now, if you would with me, follow along. Look at this. I am going to emphasize parts of verses. I will draw you to whether it's the beginning, the middle, or the end of the verse. But I want to start with the following verses, starting in verse number 14, and take you all the way down to verse number 33. You can do this with me. I want you to see the revival that came to Israel because an 8-year-old decided to do what's right, a 16-year-old sought the Lord, a 20-year-old started the changes, and by age 26, revival started to happen. And I want to do so because I want our young people to look beyond. I want you to desire to be an example of the believer. I want our young people to take a stand. When the friends are tempting you, consent thou not, it says in Proverbs chapter 1. When they say, do all this, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Hey, let's do all this together. Young people, you don't need to do it. You can take a stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I want you to go beyond that, to making more than just a stand, to influencing the ones around you to do that which is right for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want some of you young people to set aside your aspirations and whatever they may be, of being an engineer one day, of being a doctor one day, of being a lawyer one day. Yeah, we'll go by that one again. To being whatever you think God may want you to do. Say, you know what, but wouldn't it be better if I could just give my life to the ministry? Let's look at the changes that came about because a young man set his face toward the Lord. Follow with me. Begin with verse number 14. Look toward the end of the verse. Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Here's what happened. They cleaned out the temple. Shaphan is now to start the repair, and in the remodeling project, you got your mind fixed? Do you see a remodeling project in your mind? What they're remodeling is the temple, and in the middle of the remodeling project, they found the book of Moses. It's the law of the book of Moses. Look at the end of verse number 15. Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. Verse 16, and Shaphan carried the book to the king. Look at the end of verse number 18. And Shaphan read it before the king. So get the progression. Hilkiah finds it. He takes it to Shaphan. Shaphan decides to take it to the king. And in telling the king about what they found, the king says, read me some of the book. He begins to read the book to him. Look at verse number 19. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah. What's he command Hilkiah to do? Look at verse number 21. Go inquire of the Lord for me, for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. He says, you know what? I want you to go find out what's in it for us. What does God want to do with our lives? So now revival is starting to come to Israel. Why? Because a young man at the age of 16 decided, I wanted to do more than just being right. I'm going to seek what God wants for my life. I'm going to make a difference in this world. Look at the difference that began to be made. Look at verse number 22. And Hilkiah, and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess. Look what she said in verse number 23. She answered them. Look at verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. Judgment still had to come upon Israel because of why? Look at verse 25. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto their God. Dear young person, listen to this. You can choose to do right or wrong. But if you choose to do wrong, you cannot choose the consequences. Israel decided collectively, we're going to turn away from the Lord. And we're going to worship these other gods. And even though there's now repentance and confession of the sin, judgment still needed to come because of the sin that they've chosen. Let's continue to go on and allow this story to unfold. We're just getting it right out of the Word of God. Because they have forsaken me, verse number 25, and have burned incense unto other gods. Look at verse number 26. It here has the idea, and but as the king of Judah, there's something different for the king of Judah. Look at verse 27. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself. He says, judgment is coming to Israel because of what they did, but because of what you've done, there's something different in store for you. Look at verse number 28. Behold, I will gather thee to thy father, and thou shalt be gathered to the grave. Look at this. In what? Boy, isn't that something we all wish we had? Can you imagine living in the day and age in which Josiah lived? There was much ungodliness. There was much adultery. There was much sin in the camp. But because he was doing right, he still had peace. You see, dear friends, it's like Moses. He refused the pleasures of sin which were for a season for the peace that would endure in the Christian life. If our young people would make this determination and this decision, I know sin can bring a temporary pleasure, but I know peace will endure for eternity if I choose to serve the Lord. And here is all this devastation, yet Josiah died in peace. Why? Because he sought the Lord and followed after his will. You know, this world is much turmoil. I told Karen, I don't live paranoid, but you look at your surroundings a little different in this day and age, don't you? I mean, several things happened at Walmart. And that's exciting when something happens at Walmart. But even Walmart in Ephrata, in the last 3 weeks, several major incidences happened in Walmart in Ephrata. But at the same time, being God's child and where God wants me to be, I'm at total peace. Peace doesn't come as a result of all that we're doing. Peace comes by being right with God. Some people, you know what? They're trying to do all kinds of things to undo things and change things in their lives. If they would just follow the Lord, the peace of God would abide upon them. We overlook, we see that as no big thing. I want you to know, dear friend, that is huge in verse number 28, where he would go to his grave in peace. Look at verse number 29. And the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. Look at, toward the end of verse number 30. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord and walked after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. Look at verse number 32. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. This is what he's doing. He says, you know what? I am going to live by the word of God. Revival was coming into the heart and life of Josiah. And he gives this commission to the people and called them to make that same stand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you finally look at the last verse, verse number 33. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries. Look at that. It had broadened now. If you read this, it's such a fascinating story. It started small. He started in the temple. It went out to the groves. It then went to the cities surrounding them. It's now into the countries. Look at that. That pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days, and they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Praise the Lord! And it all started when a 16-year-old determined, I'm going to go beyond just doing right and living a pattern to living a life that would persuade others to live their lives for Jesus Christ. It was 100 years earlier. For the sake of time, we will not turn there. Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, was in that temple, seeing the Lord high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Whole earth is full of His glory. Revival came in that life of Isaiah that day because he saw himself as a sinner. He was living in the midst of people of an unclean lips. And he realized he was much the same. One of the seraphims brought one of the coals from off the fire and touched his mouth, purifying. Then he heard the voice of the Lord. Up to this point, he had saw the Lord. Up to this point, he had heard the voice of the seraphims. And now he heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom shall go for us? Beautiful picture of the Trinity. Then said I, here am I. Send me. Young people, if you were to spend the rest of your life living a pattern like Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, Joseph, David, and others, we would give thanks. We would praise the Lord for the holy life in which you live. But is there not a cause? Is there not something that needs to be fought for and defended? Is there not a need still when the labors are still so few and the harvest is still so great? Is there not some young people say, you know what, I've always wanted to be. But more than anything else, I want to be what God wants me to be. Young people, if God can do it, and I want you to know, it wasn't what Josiah did, it was what God did. If God can do it through Josiah, God can do it through you. going from just doing right to seeking the will of the Lord, cleansing the house, ends up cleansing the countries round about him and bringing about revival in Israel. Oh, how God could use you. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer.